Good morning. I want to thank you once again for allowing me to speak today. You know, this really helps me out a lot. Not that I don't study already, but when I know I'm going to be doing a sermon, I do two things I do is a lot of studying and a lot of praying. And, it helps me, keeps me on my toes. Also, you know, I want to make sure that what I say is as accurate as possible as well. So that also makes me want to study more. But I do thank you. I appreciate, and I find this to be this is a privilege to me to be able to stand up here and talk to you today and bring you a lesson from God's Word. This morning I was going to be talking about counting the cost. Counting the cost. And you know, when you're buying a house, I don't own a house, but in my job, I get to see the whole process go through. It's a big investment. And a lot of times, it takes a major part of your life to pay for the house. And most people realize that. So when they're looking for a house, they have a plan. They have a process. First of all, a lot of times, what they do is search for the right house. And for that, they go through a realtor, or they look at signs in the yard, newspapers, online. They go through a lot of trouble trying to make sure they find this house. And then after they've found a house, a potential house that they might want to buy, they want to know how much it costs. And then they want to find out, of course, if the bank is going to go with them on this deal. And they do a lot of investigation to make sure. Also, when it comes down to buying a house, and especially maybe with the cheaper ones, I don't know how it goes, but the most of the ones I deal with is either $250,000 to $2 million. So these people, they're going to expect this house up and down. They want to make sure everything's right. They get a home inspector. And this home inspector goes from walking on the roof, in the attic, in each room, down to crawling underneath the house. And if it's a good one, he'll pick that house apart. He'll tell you everything that's wrong with it. And, you know, quite frankly, if it's worth buying for the price that they're asking. And not only do they do that, they hire a person like me who comes out and looks for any wood-destroying pests that may cause them problems down the line. Because, you know, if you catch it now, not so bad. 10 years from now, your house can be falling apart. Or it could cost you thousands and thousands on top of what you're already paying for the house. And then you have your septic. If you got a septic tank, it has to be drain, or they have to drain it so that that can be inspected. And then a lot of people, too, they want to know what the utility costs and stuff like, because all that is factored in. I mean, just because you buy the house doesn't mean you're not buying electricity and you're not buying all the other things that go along with it. So you have to factor all that into the price as well. And not only that, possible future growth in your family. That's something that has to be taken into consideration too. And a lot of times the neighborhood. Is it a kid-friendly neighborhood? Is it a violent neighborhood? Quiet neighborhood? Is it going to go along with what you would prefer? All these things that a person would do. And besides that, a lot of them, we'll get a lawyer to make sure that everything on that contract is something that they understand in full before they sign it. And lawyers are real good about that. I've had to travel 30 miles because I forgot to check a box. And you could tell the lawyer, oh, go ahead and check it. No, you got to come and check it yourself. They make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. All of this is done before you sign the contract for that house. And we do all this stuff because it is a long-term commitment, as I said before. It's an investment. Cars are the same way sometimes. We do the same type of comparison. Smart shoppers will compare cars based on gas mileage, based on price, based on how much trouble it's going to cause them down the line for the same reason. They want to make sure that they can handle it, that they can make it through their obligation with the bank and possibly have that car around for years to come. It's an investment. And both of these things really have a big influence on our lives. Depending on how much money we have left, it's going to depend on whether we can go on vacations, whether we can do anything extra. You know, all of this stuff has to be taken into consideration beforehand. And it seems that these days, though, there's two things that people don't take a lot of time investigating before they jump into it. And that's marriage and religion. And I'm not doing a marriage lecture today, but those are the two things. People just tend to jump right into them. A lot of times it's because of the sweet sales pitch. You know, we got the whole, I promise you the moon, the stars, and everything else. You know, don't look at my background, don't look at the fact that I ain't got a job or a house or this and that, but it's what I'm gonna give you, you know. The shiny baubles and this and that, they flash in front of your face and get your mind off of the real things. People jump into it. Same with religion. A lot of times there's some preachers who are just really good at motivating people. You can just sit there and listen to them and they just make you want to stand up and shout sometimes. Real good. And they'll sit there and tell you, oh, you know, look at me, I'm blessed. Look at the Cadillac I got, the mansion I got, some of them, all these other things. And you could be that way too. Tell them all the good things, all the advantages, but not the real deal. And when you don't investigate, sometimes you end up in a not being successful in that because you didn't take the time to consider everything. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verse 28 and 29. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And 29. And it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will really ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Every now and then I ride around and in Benton Harbor, around the corner from where my sister lives, there was a house. Seemed like for 5 years, all there was a foundation. And then one day, somebody came and put up a frame. But I mean, this house has been in progress of being finished for about past 15 years. Didn't count the cost. A lot of things happened. Didn't count the cost. It's finally getting complete. I don't know if it's with the same owner. But you got to be prepared. You know, sometimes with divorce, you know, you hear people say, oh, I thought you said death do you part. You know, not considering everything that it takes for that type of commitment. In a marriage, couples are committed to their union. It must be total in order for it to work. And in order for it to work, there must be an understanding of what is expected in a marriage. Let's put an example that I'm using right now. Or for a family. You ever throw a rock into a calm pond? When that rock hits that water, it causes a ripple effect. It affects the entire pond. That's what it does. And you know, I can't even speak as far as marriage, but I will say something to the young people. I have four kids. All four of them were out of wedlock, but I married my younger one's mother. But I'm saying this is because when I did a lot of things as a teenager, I did not consider the consequences. I did not consider the long term. I did not consider that God's way was the right way. And with God's way, you have with men, you know, we're supposed to do things God's way. Prepare ourselves, get a house, get a job, and be prepared for a family. I didn't do that. I had my daughter when I was still in high school. And the reason why I say there's a ripple effect, because my daughter had my granddaughter while she was in high school. Her name is Deja. I always, you know, joke that deja vu. But, it's a ripple effect. We don't understand what happens sometimes, or we don't consider what happens sometimes when we do the things that we do. And it causes that problem to happen. And when it comes down to my kids, there's lots of things that's happened in my kids' lives that I had to sit there and watch, that I could do nothing about, that I was the problem. I caused it. That ripple, that's still rippling as we speak. Because I didn't take into consideration all the things that I should have took into consideration before I did the things that I did that caused it to happen. You know, the best way to keep a ripple out of the water is not to have nothing drop in it in the first place. Doing things God's way. I didn't do it that way. And, you know, as I say to young people, and I always try to say something to them about this, you will regret it if you don't do it God's way. And you will have to sit there and watch the ripples of what happens in the lives of your kids and everyone else around you because of your actions. You know, when it comes to marriage, couples must know that there will be hard times and sad times along with the good times. And a lot of times that's the problem. We want to hear all the good news and everything, but what reason why we're not prepared is because we're not told the bad side. We're not told about the parts where we need to hang in there, the parts when things are going to get tough, where we need to remember what we were committed to, remember the contract with our wives, and, you know, it's going to be hard times. And we must have that same commitment and understanding if we are to be a child of God or brother and sister in Christ. Let's go back again to Luke chapter 14, again, verse 28. And again, it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he had enough money to complete it? Again, when it comes to money, we will listen, we will think, we will read, we will study before we buy or invest in something. We should take our spiritual lives with that same seriousness, if not more serious than we do our money. You know, we don't want to lose our money, but sometimes it seems like we don't have a problem losing our spiritual lives. And money is just, you know, this life, what we're doing right now is nothing. The Bible says it's as a vapor. And in the grand, and the, like they say, the oceans of time, it is nothing. 100 years is nothing. Eternity is the boggles the mind to try to figure out how long eternity is, except for it's forever. So some people want to have, you know, we need to be investing in forever, not in for this short period of time that we're going to be here on this earth. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. And this was actually, I had asked the preacher when he asked what he wanted us to pick out a verse for our wedding, me and my wife's wedding, and I had him read. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they would become one flesh. One flesh. In a marriage, a man and a wife must work as one, committed to each other and to their future family. These days, that seems to be a big problem. Why? Because people don't understand. You know, we get our understanding of marriage from TV, from sitcoms, from all these other things. Stars seem to get divorced. Mickey Rooney just died. I think he was married 7 times. Elizabeth Taylor, 5. You know, a lot of these people get married. Tom Cruise has contracts with his wife. At least that's what they say. He'll, you know, they got to renew it every 7 years or so, and he promises them a movie deal or whatever. I don't know. But marriage is not taken seriously, or at least in the way that God would intend on it being that way. And I'm just saying, I'm comparing it to our spiritual lives as well. Often married people let things or people creep in and come between them. And when we let people in the world into what God has put together, couples break up. Children's lives are made more difficult, and it causes a ripple effect. You know, marriage, like I said before, is something that God takes seriously. And he takes it seriously because it's not only it's for our own good, it's for our family's good, and it's the right way. And sometimes it's just simple enough to say it's the right way. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 14 again. We'll be bouncing back and forth there. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. In verse 26 it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. When we come to Christ, one must be committed. Jesus isn't saying to hate your loved ones. He is saying God first. See, if we would just trust God with our lives, trust God with our families, go to the Bible and see how we should handle children, see how we should handle marital affairs, see how we should handle any affair, we'd be all right. Him first. God's not telling you to hate your parents or hate anybody. He's just saying, him first. Do what's right. If we can do what's right for us, I mean, do it God's way, then we can help our family. We will be able to, we could actually pray for our family, and God would hear our prayers. We would be able to help them. And also, by living the example that God would have us live, that would also help our family in knowing the right way, watching us, seeing how we go, seeing how we deal with problems. But it must be God first. We must follow God's way and not our family's way, not our friends' way, not even our own way or the world's way. You know, some people go to churches or go to a church because their family's always gone there. And I've heard people say, I go to, my mother was a Baptist, my grandmother's a Baptist, I'm going to be a Baptist too. I'm going to die a Baptist. Why? Not because the word is right, but because that's where my family went. That's where my friends are. The Lord is saying for us, you know, we have to look for ourselves. Your soul is your soul. You need to determine where you should be. And if your family's church doesn't follow God's word, you should worship where God's word is followed and not follow your family. And sometimes, you know, that's tough. That's tough. Sometimes that puts you at odds with your family. Well, why are you going there? What, our church ain't good enough for you? It has to follow God's word. In Micah chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. And I don't know about you guys, but I kept flying past this one left and right until I found it because it's such a small book. But in Micah chapter 7, it says, verse 5, it says, "Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words, for a son dishonors his father. A daughter rises up against her mother. A daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the members of his own house." But Micah said, "As for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for the Lord, my Savior. My God will hear me." He said he's putting his trust in God. Let's turn to Matthew's chapter 10. In verse 34. This is what Jesus was saying. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." And it goes on to say, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." As I said before, you know, a lot of times your biggest enemies, especially when it comes down to following Christ, can be family. Those who might belong to one of the denominations, sometimes they're not belonging to anybody. They feel threatened. You know, they're always railing against you. I've experienced that in my family, for sure. Always watching, always waiting for you to trip up. Always having something bad to say. But Jesus was letting us know. God's word is going to do that sometimes. If people don't agree with God's word, you're going to be at odds with them. And, it's easy to be at odds with people out there. But when it comes to your own house, when it comes to your own family, that's hard. But your commitment must be total. And in doing so, there is great reward. And before we make a lifetime commitment, we should know all that's involved and make sure that we see it through. A lot of times when it comes down to Christianity, a lot of times when you see people leave, and I've seen this happen in the church a lot of times, it's because, like I said before, they hear all the good stuff. They hear about how God blesses people and all these good things, but they don't hear about the tough times. And then the first time a tough time comes, they go to running. It's going to be tough times. The apostles didn't have it easy. They had God with them. But as we know, Paul was stoned and he had troubles. I mean, the apostles had troubles. They went through a lot of things. God never told them that they wouldn't. He told them that they would. But the reward is what we need to be looking for. And that's what when we're telling people about the realities of becoming a Christian, we also need to tell them about the rewards of becoming a Christian. Not so much the rewards here, but the rewards up there. There's going to be suffering down here. There's going to be pain down here. There's going to be things going wrong down here. But the Bible also talks about heaven and how in heaven, none of those things are there. This is a short time of our, being on this earth. We are just travelers, just passing through. That's the way that we're supposed to look at it. We're supposed to be making our way to heaven. Always keeping our eyes on heaven. When there's bad things going on down here, keep your eyes up there. Because you know one day when you get up there, all these bad things are going to go away. People need to understand that. But they need to understand it in real terms. Just like with marriage, as I was saying before. People talk about all the good parts about marriage. But there are days when marriage can be very trying and very tough. You need to know that. But if you get through it, all the reward is great. Again, can we please turn to Luke chapter 14, this time verse 31. It says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long ways off. It will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Counting the cost. Becoming a Christian is like going to war. And whether you know it or not, I mean, there's a war going on right now. Being on the internet and stuff, Church of Christ is being attacked big time. Being attacked about you name it. And I've read it all lately. But I'm going to tell you something. As I said, there's a war going on. Thing about it is, we're going to have to pick a side. And there's only two sides to pick. The winning side and the losing side. And I'm saying it right like that because it's already been determined who's winning the war. That's God. So which side do you want to be on? The winning side or the losing side? God's army is stronger. Make peace with him. Surrender to him. Follow him while you have a chance. And to the young people, all I can say is, death seems far off to you, but it's a lot closer than you think. You know, you just because you're 16, 12, 13 doesn't mean that you got a license not to die. It happens every day. But as I said before, we all here know that there's been a battle going on between good and evil since the beginning of time. But like I said before, we also know the end result of that. We already know who's going to win. God's going to win. Who likes to be on a losing team? Has anybody ever wanted to be on a losing team knowing that they're going to lose? Think about that. Oh, sure, in this life, you know, you want to be on a losing team, do what you want to do. Or do nothing. Same thing. But if you want to be on God's side, you better figure out what his terms are. Be willing to commit to those terms and surrender to him. Be on his side. Be with his army. All I can say is, as I said before, you only have two choices. But you need to count the cost. You know, a lot of people sit up here and, like I said, they leave the Church of Christ because they didn't count the cost, and they'll go somewhere else where it's a lot easier. Nobody asks you to do anything. Nobody commits you to do anything. There's a lot of places out there like that. Hey, we just go and we'll put our bics up in the air and we'll do this and that for 2 hours. We'll sing the rock, you know, Christian rock concert or whatever. We'll go home and feel as though we worship. Not the way God said, but we only have two ways to go. God's way or the world's way. Which one do you choose? Have you count the cost? Just think about it. Please consider these things as I say, as we stand and we sing the song that's selected for our Savior's invitation.